Amen. Thank you, guys. Okay, if you'd like to take your seats. We are going to hear something now of God's unending love and amazing grace. We're going to hear how we can extend that into our community this Christmas, and we're going to hear from some guys who've been abroad, who have experienced and extended God's amazing grace and unending love. So, Vicky, this is your moment. Round of applause for Vicky Swift. Okay, Vicky, off you go.
Christmas is coming. Yay! Everybody happy about that? Over the last few years, we were inspired by some friends of ours to make Christmas hampers for people. So we would collect a load of food and toiletries and things like that, decorate it up and hand it to people, to then secret Santa it onto somebody that we knew, that maybe needed some food and some toiletries and things like that because they weren't particularly well off, or it'd be a nice Christmas present because they were alone and things like that. Unfortunately, this year, as many of you are aware, we can't actually afford to do that. However, when I was praying for food, like I'm doing regularly at the moment, basically God said, hang on, you don't have to necessarily provide, you can organise. So I'm here to basically say I'm going to be launching a Christmas hamper appeal. So what I'm doing is I am going to be collecting hampers and boxes with your help, hopefully. And I am then going to be asking you all, if possible, to bring in some food to church. And then with that, I am going to distribute hampers, okay, out to the community and to people within River Church. So some of you might have these on your little chairs, their little forms to fill in. If you know of anybody, either within River or out in the community, that actually would appreciate a Christmas hamper this year, maybe they've been made redundant this year, maybe they live alone, they're an elderly person on their own, maybe they're just not very well off, but they would really appreciate a Christmas hamper. I would appreciate it if you could fill in this form and hand it back to me by next Sunday. You can do it today, pop it through the postbox during the week. And for every piece of paper that is filled out, I would love us all to give a Christmas hamper to these individuals. Yeah? Everybody agree with that? I'd like you to put on there particularly if they've got any nut allergies or they've got any issues in the family. So if you know there's an alcoholic in the family, we won't put alcohol in their basket. So basically, I would like nominations from yourself by next Sunday. If you have any baskets or anything like the one on the floor down here, it could be smaller than that, any shape or size, if you could get them to me as well. I'm on the scrounge, basically. And then I would love it if you could bring in some food. It just has to be one or two items. If you get the urge to fill a whole shopping basket, that would be even better. But if God leads you to buy certain items, things like that, it could be bottles, Christmas pudding, crisps, biscuits, children's, you know, noodles and spaghetti hoops and things like that. Anything that you think would be brilliant to go in a Christmas hamper. And then, make sure the use-by date is January, okay? I don't want any fresh produce, or unfortunately Andy and I are going to have to eat it, which would go down very well in our household at the moment. And then we're going to go out and deliver them to the nominated persons on the 12th of December, that weekend. We won't be saying that they're from a specific individual, so we won't say, I don't know, that Liz has nominated so-and-so. It will come from River Church, and we're going to just put on it, with love from River Church, and just put a phrase on the back, something like, you know, God is love, and just keep it as simple as that so they know that we are thinking of them during this time. Does everybody think that's a good idea? So yeah, next Sunday and every Sunday from now on, I will be collecting, there'll be a box to put food in. So when you get a buy one, get one free, bung it in the box. I'd really appreciate it. Okay?
Yeah. I really, really encourage you to get behind this. I think this is an amazing way that we could reach out to our communities this Christmas. So keep it in your heads, guys. And I thought it was amazing that here's Vicky ringing me up, who herself could probably do with all of our Christmas hampers this Christmas, actually, in God's grace, wanting to give away. Could we pray for Vicky and Andy? Could we pray for some breakthrough in their lives, yeah? Could we just do this now? Yeah, will you stretch out your hands? Yeah, Father God, Father, we just thank you for this great revelation and opportunity from you, your wisdom to reach out into our community this Christmas. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for speaking to Vicky. Thank you that Vicky had the grace to receive that with a pure heart, Father God. And Lord, we want to pray now for Vicky and Andy and the children. Father, we want to pray that you will break through into their situation. Father, we want to pray for work for Andy. We want to ask that whatever the obstacles, whatever the difficulties, Father God, you will change those difficulties into opportunities for them. Father God, we ask for work. We ask for work, Father. We thank you for your amazing provision for this family. We thank you for the journey you've taken them on. We thank you for their faith, Father God, which has been so strong and sorely tested, Father. We thank you for their love for you, and we pray for your blessing and your breakthrough in their lives. In Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you very much, Vicky. And now mission further abroad. Di, where's Di? And Linda, yes. Who are going to share another opportunity for us to get involved.
Okay, right. I'm just going to talk for a couple of minutes, then show you a 1 minute, 12 second or so DVD. And then Linda's going to explain how you can get involved. This year, the big year missions trip, you know the big year? Okay. Big year missions trip is going to Sierra Leone in West Africa. In May, Sierra Leone was founded as a home for freed slaves. It's got a rich Christian heritage, but through war and atrocities and various things there, it's now one of the poorest nations in the world. Now, we will be working with Iris Ministries in Sierra Leone. You may have heard of Iris Ministries. It began in Mozambique, led by Heidi and Roland Baker. And up to date, they've seen tens of thousands of churches planted. They feed thousands of children. They are involved in going into entire villages and seeing them transformed by the power of God. And there is a man called Andrew Sese who worked with Heidi and his wife, and now they're in Sierra Leone, and they head up Iris Ministries there. And those are the people that we're going to be working with. Isn't that exciting? Well, I'm excited. Terry has been there and he knows them. Now, we're going to show, I've had the thumbs up. I don't know if you saw me do that and we were making signs across the hall, that we are going to actually see this guy, Andrew, just to show you what they're doing.
Of able to lead, you know, now I can feel a little bit of what you're feeling, like leading the whole movement in Mozambique. And all what you're going through, it's not really easy. I don't see how we can be able to accomplish this without the grace of God, and without the presence of God and the love of God that he talks about daily. So we get the encouragement of what God is doing here. And the churches are growing so much. We have about 14 branches all over Sierra Leone, and we believe in God to increase more. We have one school in the other part of Sierra Leone, and then we're actually doing two schools. One school is on run and the other school is just need to be finished, and we'll have a little bit of farming going also, and then God has provided for me a studio, and then so many things are going on in Sierra Leone, and God is really giving me people that really would love God, that really love Jesus and just want to serve Jesus and are in the Spirit. And also, we have seen so many miracles, so many things God has done, and using some of these young guys to go out and just go to the hospital and just pray for the sick, and see the sick healed, the lame, the deaf, the blind eyes. God has healed all these people, and it's amazing what God is doing in Sierra Leone.
Right, that gives you a flavour, doesn't it? And we're going to work with them, and we're going to see all those things, and then we are going to come back here. And, you know, when you go on these mission trips, you go to give, you go to pray, you go to preach, you go to teach, and so on. But you never give more than you receive back. And you bring it back, and then you can impart it to the congregations around here. Now, Linda's going to just explain how we can all get involved. There's so much going on, but just listen, because we've got some good things. Okay.
Hi there. Well, most of you know that I was a big year student last year, and the mission trip was really precious. All of the students felt it was a special time in that we were able to put into action all those things we were learning about and pushing into, and God was just so faithful. So we came back really strengthened and full of faith and love. So I'm really praying that this will be the case for this year's students. I know it's going to be. They've already made a sacrifice in terms of the time they're laying out and the course fees. So I really hope we can get behind them in this. I run a project called Treasure Seekers, and we're really happy and willing to coordinate the fundraising over the next few months for this trip. All the events that we're planning are suitable for you to bring friends and relatives who don't go to church. We're going to give more information about this as the weeks go on, so watch out for that. But just to give you a flavour, we're planning to put on things such as sponsored parachute jumps, to maybe experiencing a Sierra Leonean dinner with a guest speaker and crafts. And two of the big things that we're planning are a Love Sierra Leone benefit gig, which we're hoping we can showcase some of River's really talented musicians. That should be in February, and an auction of promises in April. So if you can start thinking about what you might be able to promise, that would be great. The big thing at the moment, though, is that's running from now until April is what we've called the Big Year Mission Munch. And basically, Treasure Seekers have printed off some invitations, which you'll find on the information table outside, and we'll try and put one of these invitations up on the website so that you can print it off. So it looks like this, and we'll be producing some instructions to go with these. But what we want you to do is think about inviting people along to any event you can choose to do with food. So it could be a three-course dinner or Christmas nibbles for your cell group. And we put at the bottom an example of a suggested donation. So for a three-course meal, you know, people might want to pay £10. But, of course, we know that some people will pay less and some might want to give more. I just want to end here by saying thank you for your support in advance. If you have any queries, please see Di or myself, and just keep listening out and looking for more information. Thanks very much.
Thank you, Linda. I guess it's really easy to think, oh, crikey, this is all money, isn't it? And what's going on at this time of year? But, you know, our testimony is that God is so faithful. And as we give, God gives back to us. And certainly my testimony, Jonathan, my testimony would be, God has never, ever not been there for us. Never, ever. So I would really encourage you to give. To give out of just generosity to really support these guys. That would be fantastic. Now, we are going to hear back from... do you remember we prayed out some missionaries, didn't we? We prayed out our Lesotho team and we prayed out our Nepal team the week after. Colin, we prayed for you in your absence because you'd already gone. You were too eager. So we're going to hear back from these guys. God has met them and changed them and encountered them on their trips, and they'd really like to share that with you guys. So we don't just want it to be something where we wash you with information. We want your hearts to be open to hear the whisper of the Holy Spirit. What's he saying to you? What's God saying to you? How can you be encouraged? How can you be built in your faith? So let me hand over to Pastor Matt. This, ladies and gentlemen, is Pastor Matt. And Pastor Matt, with Pastor James, led the Lesotho trip. And here he is. Are you tall? Here he is to tell you all about it.
Hello, everybody. That's right. I say hello, you say hello, Pastor Matt. Hello, everybody. Interesting that Terry mentioned two reasons why it's interesting that Terry mentioned Reinhard Bonnke before. One of them is because every time that name is mentioned, Liz Challis blushes and laughs. I don't know why that is. And secondly is that you might not know this, but Reinhard Bonnke is like a big superstar, stadium preacher, missionary to millions and millions of people in Africa. He spent 20 years in Lesotho before he got famous. And his first, his buddy, partner in crime for those 20 years is Michael Collisan, who is the bishop in Maseru. We spent a lot of time with him. And Michael tells some interesting tales about them being chased out of various tribal villages. Him and Reinhard being chased out of villages up in the highlands, and it's in Reinhard Bonnke's book as well. Interestingly, now those same tribal chiefs are inviting Michael back to go with tents and do missions. So there's a bit of a circular thing there. But anyway, I want to bring up some of the guys who came out with me. Sarah Wells. You can clap every single one of them because they were all superstars. Sarah Wells. Jordan Davies. Hope you come. Hannah Lucas. Becky Duncan. Come on down. Ben, are you staying there? You can come up here as well. So I'm going to ask these guys just to randomly share a little bit of things, and I've not given them much time to prepare, but I'm sure it'll be fantastic. One thing before, going to church in Lesotho, it's a little bit more interesting than here. People are a bit more engaged. So I want people to respond by saying amen very loudly when I say hallelujah!
Amen!
Hallelujah!
Amen!
Hallelujah!
Amen!
Good start. Praise the Lord. Who's going to start? Sarah Wells. No, he's not going to start. Hannah. Jordan. Yeah, can I just say, just before I pass the mic on to Jordan, I spent a really special time with Jordan praying. We went to a house church together. I'm not sure if this is a bit you're going to talk about. But we went to three different house churches, and it was probably about 40 or 50 people in ours. And after we'd all shared a little bit, we prayed for every single person in that room. And I was really privileged to pray with Jordan. Those two were sort of teamed up. And this guy is an absolute warrior, absolutely sensational, fantastic prayer warrior. And people were queuing up to get prayer. In fact, all the girls were queuing up to get prayer from Jordan. But specifically, they were asking prayer for help. A lot of people had exams. And he was just a legend, just really open to that moment and just prayed for these people. He prayed for some women and some guys who had real problems in their life. And he absolutely blessed every single one of them. He was absolutely fantastic, because it's really important to know that he's an ambassador for you in his mission trip. He was absolutely amazing, and I just want you all to just know that and just thank him on everyone's behalf. So well done, Jordan. Anyway, a bit of an intro. Can you just give me some thoughts, impressions of the trip? I know you don't do impressions, but...
Well, I just wanted to say one thing, really, that when we went up to Lancer's Gap on Sunday afternoon, was it? We looked over the whole of Maseru, and we saw, and I just thought about how happy they were with how little they had. They lived in a three-room shack, and we have like loads compared to them, and we're not satisfied with what we have.
Yeah. Amazing. Thanks, Jordan. And I know Lancer's Gap was quite special to you. Is there anything else you just want to talk about? Or just say hello.
Hello. It was absolutely fantastic. The whole trip really was taken out of my hands. It's something I've wanted to do for a long time. And people actually approached me this time and confronted me and said, why are you not doing it? And they seem to have sorted a lot of it out for me, or the main areas that I was concerned about. So I just had to raise some money, which I baked lots of cakes and had good fun. And the trip was worth every penny, and triple I would do it again, and I am going to do it again. Already for next year. The same as Jordan, just absolutely overwhelming that they have so little, and yet they just completely live for Jesus. Absolutely. Overwhelmingly. Everywhere you go, they just praise the Lord. There are no limits. They're in your face. It's amazing. You can't see now, but my hairs have been standing on end since I've been home, and they still are. So that was absolutely wonderful. And on a personal note, at Lance's Gap was my favourite place as well, where I got healed from a lot of emotional baggage over the years. And God really took me there personally on this journey to do that. So I've come back, spent the whole week there with just absolute peace inside myself, which I have not felt for many, many years, and carry on to feel that way. So I just look forward to the future with my journey with God. My wonderful friends, thank you for making the trip so great. And I shall pass it on.
Before I pass you on to Becky, who's going to go next, I just want to say we've got amazing resources in this church. Maybe you didn't know that Hannah was an amazing evangelist, and to see her actually preach the Lord, the word of the Lord in this house group was absolutely amazing. It was passionate and it was relevant and vibrant and really moved a lot of people there. So we don't know sometimes the resources that we've got in this church. Becky, you want to share your blanket with everyone? You're going to have to hold this.
You could wear it. You could wear it. Come on, Pastor Matt, wear the blanket. This is how everyone dresses.
Yeah, large.
Sorry, there's only one size. Anyway, I think what I really saw in the CT, which I never really expected, was there were so many days when I saw different parts of God's character in the CT. Like on the Sunday, I really saw God's creation when we went up to Lancer's Gap and saw the whole of Miss Sarah, saw the most amazing view, which you could have just stood there forever and just drunk in forever. On the Monday, when we went to the home groups, I really saw that, you know, we're all part of a multi-nation family who have got so much love for you. You know, you couldn't, it was like after the service and during, people would just come up to you and just give you hugs and just be so incredibly welcoming. And by the end of the night, I was so incredibly overwhelmed by people's love for us. It was just amazing. And I think on Tuesday, I really saw when we went to Beautiful Gate and we heard the stories of each little child, and everyone's got their own, they all got their own little story. You just saw God's hope and God's heart for the abandoned and how he rescues them.
Thank you, Becky. We've still got a price tag on here. And the Wells is... Ben, you can introduce your wife.
Oh, for those of you that don't know, this is my wife, Sarah. It's the first time that I'd ever been on any kind of mission trip and to Africa as well. And I think some people had said stuff to us and tried to prepare us for it, but you just don't... You can't prepare yourself for it. We walked in right from the get-go, from the start, the Fill the Gap Church on Sunday morning. We walked in and they just cheered and clapped. I've never heard so much noise just for us to turn up, and it was just unbelievable, just so overwhelming. And then they started worshipping, and it was just like nothing I've ever seen in my life before. It was amazing. They were all at the front dancing. There just wasn't any room. This place is huge, and they have to have two services because there's 2,000 people in there, and they have to have a second service, and you're just amazed by it. And they just all look so happy, and they're so into it, and they're so overwhelmed by it. You know, just to echo what the guy said, they have so little and we have so much. And they're just completely, they never stop smiling. They're so happy. So that was just amazing. And you go out there thinking you're going to be a real positive influence on them and do so much for them. And you just feel so humbled because you come back having learned so much more from them. It's just amazing. So I would just encourage anybody, if you get the chance, just do it, because it was just such a life-changing experience. It was amazing. So...
I don't really think there's much else to say on it. I think those of you that were here last week might have seen me or might have not through the floods of tears, but I think that kind of gives the impression of how I felt about it when I came back. I think for me it was more of a huge learning curve about myself and what I was able to do and what God could do through me. I learned so much from them. I had huge amounts of doubts. There was things that we were asked to do that was totally out of our comfort zones. I've never prayed for somebody aloud. I've never prayed in public. And yet, this is what we had to do, you know. And it was nerve-wracking, and it was a real draw on strength to kind of say to God, look, please, you know, help me. and it was great, you know, and it was used. And I, like I said, I had huge amounts of doubts, but on the Sunday when I came back, I had my breakthrough. Took a week, but, you know, God doesn't have time and it's fine. But it was just amazing, and it was like Ben said, it was humbling. You know, you've got these people on a Sunday standing in front of you wanting you to pray for them for healing, and you're like, I don't know if I can do this. you know, this is not, you know, I've not done this before. And they have such belief in you that you can do this, that you kind of get sucked into that and go, yeah, yeah, I can do this, you know. And, yeah, and it was just amazing. I think my favourite time was up in the mountains in Monsignani. I was definitely kept out of my comfort zone there. I was asked to do quite a lot of stuff, and I ended up evangelising in the street to one particular lad. So, yeah, so it was good. It was good fun, and definitely recommend it to everyone. And like Hannah, I'm definitely doing it again next year.
Okay, I'm sure it would be really good for all of you to have a chat with us individually, because there's loads and loads of stories that we could carry on telling. Just to sort of wrap it up, I just thought, was thinking about it this morning, and I was reminded by something Andy Rackstraw has often talked about. I've been fortunate enough to be under his tutelage for about the last 4 years. He probably doesn't realise it, or I haven't realised it, but I have been. And he's an amazingly wise bloke, and he's a fantastic resource for this church that we should all tap into. But he has... he has a sermon that he brings out of his pocket every now and then on the occasions that he's asked spontaneously to preach, whether it's in Turkey or Iran or this, that and the other, and it's called One Talent Man. I'm not sure if it, people have heard it. It's fantastic. It is a great sermon, which I will steal on an ongoing basis. And it really talks about the parable of the talents, and which is an allegory about how, you know, we really should use the things that we're given. And I think the amazing thing that that we all had the opportunity to do that. And, you know, we're all very normal bloke. I'm a very normal person. But all of us here, with the little things that we had, managed to step out. And just God really fills a gap and really had an opportunity to work through us and multiply the little bit that we offered in terms of just being able to stand up. And whether it was Sarah in Monsignani, who had an amazing impact in that meeting, whether it was Hannah and Jordan and Becky, all these guys. So I say that as an encouragement. To everybody, really, to say that if you're sitting there thinking, well, I'll be quite interested in doing that, but I'm not sure if it's for me, you actually have what it takes to go out there and have a massive impact. If we can do it, you can. So we will be going out there again next year. I really encourage you to come and talk to all of us about our experiences. Come and talk to me. Start baking cakes and making money, because I want you to come with me next year. Thanks very much. Good stuff. And thanks, guys. I don't think we've got time. Thanks very, very much indeed for all your input whilst we're there, guys.
Thank you. Guys, thank you very, very much indeed. And I know that the Lesotho team would like to thank Matt and James and really honour them and say thank you, because Matt was an outstanding leader on that trip. I have heard from my husband. Okay. Colin and Rob, I believe. Or Colin first and then Rob. These guys were off to Nepal, weren't you? And we prayed for you. Oh, he's got his scarf. Obviously his scarf of anointing. Hold on to your seats, people. There you go.
Yeah, thank you very much. God is wonderful, isn't he? I just love listening to stories like this. And just hearing what's happening on the other side of the world with people. It's fantastic. Well, we had an amazing 2 weeks in Nepal, myself and Rob, and a few other people, Emma Hawkins from Marlow, Mary Bain, who did the big year last year, and Pete Nelson Hopkinson also from Marlow. And I must say, you know, it was a great team to be away with, a fantastic team. It was a perfect team, really, God put together for what we were going to do out there. We ministered to our friends in Anandit Church. You know, we have a link church in Kathmandu, where we stayed for a year. My wife and family, where John was born, called Anandit, which means rejoicing church. And that was wonderful. We ministered to the leaders. We ministered to some of the students that I helped train a couple of years ago. We then went on out into the middle of nowhere. I took these guys to a place where they couldn't wash for 6 days. So they needed a lot of ministry. But they didn't hear any complaints. No complaints from these guys at all when they'd stood under a cold tap outside washing. They coped with the food, they coped with everything that was thrown at them. We did a women's conference for over 150 women, which was incredible. I'll tell you a bit about later on. As I said, God put together the most amazing team, really did. I mean, Emma, wherever she went, was prophesying over people, writing out cards and drawing pictures and painting pictures. And you need to know that in Nepal, prophecy is desperately needed. Desperately needed. It's a gift that's not really taught or acknowledged or used. We use it a lot in our church, don't we? We pray and prophesy over one another, and we strengthen one another in doing that. But they don't do that there. Well, I'm desperately trying to get that gift established there. And there's one or two Nepalis now that are grabbing hold of it, which is fantastic. Mary, she did a big year project last year on Nepal, on the women there. And wherever she went, she just helped the women understand the value that they have, which is really important because often women out there are treated as, you know, second-class citizens and they're made to serve in the home and not expected to do much else. But Mary was able to bring the message of value to them and lift them up to be alongside men as co-equal partners. And my friend here, Rob, was fantastic. Brought the presence of God with him wherever he went, whether it was in worship or prophecy, and probably tell you a bit about that in a minute. And Peter and Alison. Peter now, his microfinance project is actually, he's lent 59 loans now to families in Nepal. 59 loans. Now, these are people that can't afford to send their kids to school, now can afford to send their kids to school. People that were working for bosses that wouldn't let them go to church are now working for themselves and able to go to church. You know, this is amazing. It makes me weep every time I think about the work that Peter's doing out there. And it started just like it did for you, Ben and Sarah, when he came out on a trip a couple of years ago. You never know what happens when you go out on a trip. But I want Rob to speak a bit. So, Rob, do you have to tell us a bit about your experiences out there and what your highlights and lowlights were, maybe?
Okay. Yeah, Colin said, could you just share some highlights and lowlights? I don't know if we've got the photographs off. Are they ready to go? We might want to take the lights out of the back. There are some photos that will come up and they can circulate round. Just before I share anything, I just want to bring something. There's a young man just sitting over in this section with a very cool Hollister hoodie. Don't know you, sir, but just want to say that God's hand is really on you. I just want one or two people around him to put their hands on him because there's a real sense of worship on you and a real sense of fervency in prayer. And you know that. You know what God's doing in your heart, but you do struggle. And there are things in the world that pull you. And I think God's just saying to you, don't worry about those things, because he wants you to focus on his grace that is flowing out to you at this moment in time. And I just see you coming to a fork in the road ahead, and you're going to have a difficult decision to make. That may be something that's in your mind now, or it might be something that's approaching. And I believe God's saying to you that he's going to cause you to take the more difficult decision. And he's going to be with you in it. You don't need to fear at all, because his hand is on you powerfully. Amen? Thank you. I just want to pray as well for Jill and Ian. I just want to thank you for my friends here. Father, I thank you that you're raising them up at this time out of brokenness, and that God's provision is all over you. God is going to come like a flood. He's going to provide for you. He knows your fears. And in a sense, this isn't so prophetic because I know some of these things. But Father, I just want to pray for them, because as I looked over this morning and Jill crying as Vicky stood up, you know, brokenness is a hallmark on this couple and on this family. And God is raising them up out of brokenness. So I want to give you thanks, Lord, for my good friends. I want to pray at this time that you would seal the words that you've put into their heart. And in Jesus' name, that you would provide for them and you would protect them, because God is raising them up. In Jesus' name. Just one or two personal highlights from the trip for me. I was very kind of unsure about going in the way that the other guys here said. You don't know what you're going to be able to bring in these situations. You just hope that something comes together. And, you know, God really does pour himself out. Right from when I first arrived into Kathmandu, which is the most bizarre place you could ever go. It is chaotic and ridiculous in so many ways, with no infrastructure. And within 2 hours of landing, I had to get on the back of a motorbike to be driven through these wild, crazy streets. But to find myself in an oasis of tranquility at the main pastor's wife's birthday meal, which was absolutely fantastic. But I won't forget that ride on that motorbike for a while. It's such a highlight being honoured everywhere that you go. We were given garlands, this type of thing, beautiful flower garlands. They even killed Pastor Gann in the mountains, even killed his pig for us, which was a mixed blessing, which I'll come back to. When you realise that one of the women on the conference had walked 4 days to get to the conference across rough mountain terrain, 4 days to get to us and 4 days to get back for a 2-day conference. And me standing at the window, genuinely in anguish when I heard this, about to get up and try and speak, thinking, what the heck can I bring people that are so hungry and so pure? Lord, what can I do? And the pain of that and God then just coming and giving us that, you know, things that we could genuinely touch them, and knowing God's touch, to be able to bring lots everywhere we went. And for me, a highlight was ministering to the Himalayan worship team. Just fantastic young people with such a heart for God. And to be able to pour myself out for those people, and for God to pour himself out through me, I hope to truly encourage them and really get them moving for the future. Speaking and prophesying at the Tullapattle Church up in the mountains after a tough 4-hour walk. Tough for me. Okay, not tough for Colin. Tough for me, I can assure you. For those of you that have done it, you'll know what I mean. Hearing Pastor Gann's testimony and realising that you are standing with a spiritual giant, someone that has planted so many churches, that has been beaten, friends of his that have been left for dead for their faith, it is humbling. A highlight was just surviving the walk back up the mountain, to be honest. You know, the reality for me in these trips is just making friends and making brothers. I'm an only child and I've got brothers in this room. But making new brothers in Christ, Anand, Samuel, Raju, Dipesh, many others, genuine brothers in Christ. A highlight for me was spending quite a chunk of the time up in the mountains in tears. Not just because I had to share a room with Colin, who hadn't washed for 6 days. And being touched by the prayerfulness of the women and the children, particularly the orphans in Kathmandu, who, when they brought in a woman who was going blind for us to pray for, the women, the children, who are some of them only 4, 3, 4, 5, rushing forward to put their hands on her, rushing forward to place their hands on her, just to be able to pray. Just, you know, astonishing. And you think, you know, Lord, just, you know, might I have just a tiny fraction of that faith in that child? So fantastic. There are, of course, some lowlights. Trying to eat the cubes of fat that they serve you as a delicacy. They give you their best. They do literally kill the fatted calf. But when it's the fatted pig, and the best part, as far as they're concerned, is the fat at the top that you have to try and get down, that is quite something. But, you know, their generosity is absolutely amazing. another low light was forgetting to cut my toenails before we did the big walk, something I would not recommend to anyone. Absolutely. But I have to say, the Nepalis noticed within seconds of me beginning to struggle. They just sense it somehow. And I exchanged my big mountain walking boots for a pair of quite literally beach sandals to do the next hour of the journey uphill, which was, again, a mixed blessing. And, of course, not washing for 5 days, 6 days in a row. All I would say is that the wet wipe industry is a great one. And one that I thank God for. They do go a long way in all sorts of areas. Ah, my feet up there, my feet there. That's me cutting my toenails. There you go. Tending to my poor wounded feet. Colin. Yeah, while Colin, literally, I was attempting to cut my toenails and tend to my feet while Colin was quite literally hallucinating, because he had a fever the whole time we were there. And he was in the room and he was with his sleeping bag up to his neck like this, just going, "Did you see that two-headed lizard down there?" And this happened a number of times. And then he said, "I just saw a dinosaur." So, I mean, this guy is a warrior. And I'm sorry, I'm speaking for far too long, I know. But, you know, one, if I really had to sum up my highlight out there, it's I've been there before, so I kind of knew what to expect. I've not been up into the mountains, so I didn't quite know what to expect up there. But actually spending time with this guy and actually getting it. Actually getting it and standing alongside this guy. And we just, we probably, none of us, maybe one or two, we have very little understanding of just how much Colin and Sadie and their family have done out there. And Colin introducing the teams out there and what he has brought, I believe, is genuinely significant for that, not just a little area, but for a nation. Everywhere we go and everywhere we went in Nepal, people know this guy. And these guys that have planted 200 churches in the mountains, they see him as their elder brother in Christ. They look up to him. You know, it's just unbelievable. And I got it, what it is that he does. I got it. I got what's happening in Nepal. I got what God is saying to the people. And that was an absolute privilege. And for me to sit and listen to Pastor Gann's testimony, for me to share a room with Colin, it's a privilege.
Yeah. This guy doesn't big himself up enough. I mean, because for me to have a good friend go out with me like that meant an awful lot. And I just saw you do amazing things out there. I saw God do amazing things in you, Rob. And I know that you're not the same man. And those that are listening to you this morning can see a difference in you and hear a difference in you. And that's just going to get stronger and stronger. I know that to be true. And, you know, one of the guys, I got a report from the conference this morning. And for starters, they said there was over 50 healings on the day we prayed for the sick. Hallelujah. You know, this is 150-odd ladies. 50 of them were healed on the day we prayed for them. Fantastic. Including a young girl called Mahima, which means glory. What a great name. Mahima. Glory. It's almost enough to make you want another kid. But she was only about 3 or 4. She was brought to us and in a coma. And you know, you're there and you think, this is just us. This is just us. But you know there's God in heaven who is working with you. And with that gives you the confidence to pray. So we laid hands on her and prayed for her. And nothing seemed to happen. But you know, you just pray and you trust that God is going to do something. The next day we found out that a few minutes after we prayed, she woke up. Hallelujah. Yeah, we can clap that. Because God is so good. All the time. All the time. Permisya osul huna huncha. Permisya preem huna huncha, as they say. Or as I'm trying to get them to say in Nepal. Yeah, and she said that the young girl was alive. She'd been for months. Too lively. She was biting her, apparently. So obviously we've got a bit of work to do on the character, but the healing was there. But when I got the report back, you know, the guy who wrote the report, Anand, who's the English speaker out there, he just said, one of the blessed moments of the conference was when an anointed worship leader, Rob Hayward, led the congregation into a meaningful worship. He was the man who really directed the people into the presence of God with broken spirit and contrite heart. God was filling the women with an overwhelming joy. That is this man's ministry, isn't it? I mean, for me, I look at Rob and I just know he brings me into the presence of God whenever I'm with him. And he does it in brokenness and humility. And, you know, that's fantastic. Absolutely fantastic. And when he ministered to the worship group, you know, in that small church next to Pastor Gann's, 3 of the men were in tears. One of them uncontrollably sobbing. You know, I've not seen that in Nepal. The men don't cry generally. Just that the presence of God came. And it was fantastic. It was a ministry. It was a trip. I'm going to finish in a minute because I know we're out of time. But, you know, it was a trip when hallmarked by tears. Tears of joy, tears of sadness, tears of mourning, tears at just at the wonderful things that God is doing. For me, one of the greatest highlights was the evening that Rob arrived. He mentioned we went to the birthday party for Shusila, Pastor Indra's wife. And at the end of the meal, Pastor Indra spoke to me and in front of everybody. He got everyone's attention. And he got his son-in-law to translate Chiranjeevi. And he said, I want to apologize to you. He said, you may know that and it's been obvious at times, that I found it difficult, your teaching at times. And I started to cry. Because he has struggled with some of the teaching that I brought. Because it goes so against the grain to what they're taught and what he has been taught all his whole life. He's an army man like you, Robin. He knows discipline. The bravest man I know, in fact, Pastor Indra. Humble man, knows authority. And he leads the church in that kind of way. And he's been taught that kind of way. So when you talk about the love of God, the Father, heart of God, when you talk about the grace of God, and that actually discipline is not the best thing, grace is better than just justice, in a way. And when you start to talk about these things, he found it difficult. And the Holy Spirit, he found difficult. And so he did sometimes speak against some of the teaching that we were bringing. But he apologized to him in front of his family. I just welled up. Because he then said to me, he said, the truth is, he said, that I've always been blessed by your messages, by the things that you brought. The truth is, my family has been totally transformed by the things that you brought. The truth is, he said, that the students that you train now are so active in the church. Before they were weak. Now they are really active and really strong in contributing to the life of the church. That's the truth. It's just, you know, for me that was such a humbling moment. I can't take you back there, but for me that was such a special time. Because I know these messages are the things that bring life. The love of God has brought me revival personally. I dance like a crazy thing in worship because of the grace that I've received and I continue to receive. It revives my heart to know that God doesn't treat me as I deserve. That is amazing, isn't it? It's truly wonderful. You cannot help it. I can't help but dance when the music starts because God is so good to me. And the fellowship with the Holy Spirit, you know, the fact that we are all anointed by that Spirit. We live in the age when the Spirit is poured out on all flesh. It's tremendous. What a privilege that we can pray for the sick and see them healed. That is one thing they are brilliant at out there. We learn from them. They pray in season and out of season. The fact that we can prophesy over one another, as just Rob demonstrated this morning, the fact that we can have words of wisdom, words of encouragement, words of kindness, acts of mercy, give, the sacrifice of giving, all these things are amazing. I remember Pastor Indra, when we did the first Holy Spirit Day in his church, and that's the following Saturday, he was dancing for joy in church. And I said to him, it's good to see you dance. He said, yeah, he said, ever since the Holy Spirit Day, I've been filled with joy. And yet he struggled with the messages. He struggled with the messages. Because they're always taught, this is the way to do it, and this is the way you must tell people how to live. So, thank you, Jesus. Father, I want to thank you so much for Pastor Indra and what you're doing in his church. I want to thank you so much for what you're doing in Nepal around Pastor Gan and the Himalayan United Christian Fellowship. Thank you so much for what you're doing. Continue to help them understand your love, Lord, to really get it, to really grasp hold of the fact that you, first and foremost, you're a loving Father, not an angry God. Help them to grab hold of your grace, the fact that you don't treat us as we deserve, but always looking to bless, looking to give, looking to treat us better than we deserve, to draw the best out of us. Thank you for your Spirit. You know, we can learn so much from them about honouring one another. The guys in the Sutu were honoured. And when you're honoured, it draws the gold out of you, doesn't it? You have to step up to the place where people are honouring you, Pastor Matt, don't you? You have to preach your heart out when they're honouring you in that way. And it's the same in the Nepal. You know, they have nothing, they're filled with joy, but they honour you. They know how to honour. You know, and my heart for us as a church is we would really get that. I'm not talking about just honouring leaders, okay, but I am talking about honouring one another. Really, honour one another. Honour Christ in one another. Speak out what we see, the good things that we see. We're all too good, quick to speak out the negative things that we see. Let's start speaking out the positive, the possibilities. What may be in Christ. What we could be if we were filled with the Spirit and walking in the love and grace. Let's speak that out over one another. And I bet we'll start to see revival. Even greater revival than we have done. And I thank God for what we've already seen. Truly, I do. But let's start honouring one another. Like the Nepalis do. The scars and the flowers. You might think that's a bit sick sometimes. You know, they're honouring the white man that comes in. But they honour their guests that come in is the important thing. That's the important thing. Let's honour people when they come into our homes. Let's provide the bowls of water that Rob was provided with to wash his feet. And they needed washing. You know, but it's something we can really learn from them. Father, I want to pray for us as a church before I finish. Lord God, that you help us to grab hold of that. Because the truth is, as Matt was saying, we don't know the resource in this church. It's fantastic. I look around this room and I am just thankful for so many people, the giftings that there are in this room, the hearts that are giving sacrificially. And Father, help us to grab hold of that, to see one another as you see us, not as we see. We don't want to see people in the flesh. We refuse to see people in the flesh anymore. Help us to see people as sons of God, what they may be in Christ, what they should be in Christ, and call it out. Help us to draw the best out of one another, Lord Jesus. To learn from our friends in Nepal and in Africa. Help us, I pray, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. I think I'll finish there. But I just want to encourage you to carry on being generous. Because I'm the head of the mission team in River. And every pound spent on mission is worth 10 spent here. Honestly, it just buys so much out there. We train pastors at the River of Life. I didn't even mention River of Life Bible training. We've trained pastors there, and we've already trained nearly 40 leaders, and we were told stories of them leading churches around about, churches that Pastor Gann and others have planted, are now being led by our students that we've trained. We trained them for less than £500. How good is that? And, you know, we go all gooey-eyed when we see orphanages and when we see schools. And that's great. We should do, because actually they're fantastic. But let's not forget, the people who start the orphanages, the people who start the schools, the people who start the hospitals, are the children of God. They need to be strengthened. We need leaders out there to be trained. They then go and start schools in their villages and start and plan and build hospitals and water projects and things. Sorry, I'm going off on one now. But anyway, I'll finish. Bless you. Thank you.
Wow, God's unending love and his amazing grace. I don't know how your heart feels this morning. I've just been thrilled to hear all that. And God just stirs something in you, doesn't he? Let's keep hold of that. And you, Lord, the Lord wanted us to share these things this morning. Just keep hold of what the Lord's doing and listen to him and sign up for the next trip. Hey, it's going to be a big trip. We're all going to want to be there. Don't miss it, says Colin. Thank you, guys, who shared. We really, really appreciated you opening your hearts and us hearing back from you. That's it, I think. We will see you all at the big gathering next week, I hope, which starts at 10:15. There will be tea and coffee through there for you. My thanks to everybody who helped this morning, the guys on the PA and the sound desk and everything.